The news on flavored e-cigs talks a lot about the technology and teen use, but parents need to know more about the dangers of nicotine. So know this. 1. Nicotine is a toxic poison that can rewire teens' brains. 2. It can increase mood swings. 3. It can limit attention and learning. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin and we Tan Chung Han. And on the line we have Ben LeBron, market analyst with Options Express in Sydney.
Good morning, Ben. All right, that June rate hike that we talked about so much, so that's now done and dusted. Now we have four remaining scheduled Fed meetings in 2017. How many more rate hikes do you think are left in 2017?
Good morning. I would say definitely one, and probably looking at the December meeting, that would be the last three December FOMC meetings where we've seen a rate hike, with the outside chance of two, and I'd put the second one maybe at September. But I think it's a bit of a watch, wait and see at the moment. Of course, the US economy is going through a soft patch of data. I think Janet Yellen was a tiny bit concerned about how inflation is tracking at the moment. So they can potentially change the projected rate hikes at this stage. But to answer your question, 2017, I'd say one for sure, two maybe, three next year, but obviously very heavily data dependent at the moment.
Now, you're rightly pointing out that the Fed, as they long have claimed, are data dependent, yet the inflation figures have come off slightly, you know, of late. But that hasn't deterred Yellen and Co. from actually going through with that June rate hike. So perhaps are there other data points coming out of the U.S. economy that global investors should be looking out for that could derail those expectations of at least one, if not two more rate hikes before year end?
Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously the inflation's the key ingredient there. As I said, Janet Yellen a little bit concerned in terms of the Fed fund futures rates, and traders there not as concerned about inflation. They're expecting some sort of rebound. Non-farm payrolls, obviously that was a shocker last time to the downside, but there've been consistent numbers that have impressed and beat analysts' expectations. So they're the two key ingredients, I'd say, jobs and inflation. Obviously, would love to see some wage hike pressures feed through into inflation there, or the Fed would at least. When I say we, it just depends on what angle you're coming from in terms of your portfolio positioning. But we watch all the data very closely. I mean, you've got your forward-looking indicators, factory orders, inventories, these kind of things, and then your backward-looking indicators such as growth numbers. So there's a whole host of data points that the Fed will be looking at, but the two most important will be inflation and jobs.
So, Ben, how much do you think now the focus has changed from more rate hikes to the Fed's plans to shrink its balance sheet? Because I believe we have got comments from Yellen overnight, Malaysian time, alluding to its plans to wind down that $4.5 trillion US dollar balance sheet, right?
Yes, that's right, starting later this year. But she doesn't want that to interfere or replace monetary policy. And she did say it's going to be a very, very gradual process. I think she even used, I'm not sure if this was a quote from her or someone I maybe saw off my Twitter feed, but she likened it, I believe, to watching paint dry. So that's as steady as she goes positioning and squaring of the Fed's balance sheet. And it's going to be over an extended period. But coming later this year, we certainly expected some sort of commentary to come last night, and we got it, some forward guidance there, and the Fed's been pretty good at guiding us into the future. So expecting that to start to normalise the end of 2017, but if it's going to be like watching paint dry, then I would suspect that's going to sort of feed through over the next couple of years in terms of expectations.
So as it stands, we've got those two rate hikes for 2017. I mean, three in the last 6 months, if you include the one from last December. You know, now, according to conventional wisdom, we should be seeing the dollar rally, right? But yet, the greenback has been disappointing for much of this year. So what do you think is going to take to really send that greenback on a tear? What's going to be that next catalyst here?
Probably something in the political world, I would say, when it comes to the White House and Donald Trump. It's been a little bit of a barometer, a little bit of a litmus test for his presidency, and in terms of how people view him and his approval ratings. So, look, the US, the Dixie did okay last night. I think it certainly rallied up above 97 on the index, but came back sort of high 96s at the moment. It just depends. If you think we've got another two rate hikes left in us for 2017, then definitely you'd have to buy that dollar index at these levels. And this, you know, normalising the balance sheet should create a shortage of dollars. But we're not talking about for things to unfold until well into the future. So anywhere above 97 on the index, I would be interested in taking a long position. But, you know, who knows what Donald Trump's approval rating is going to be, and who knows what he's capable of pulling at any given time, you know, including on the Twitterverse. So, it looks fundamentally like a reasonable buy. But as I said, what price can you put on President Trump and his his crazy range of ideas, and of course, you know, some of the policy measures that he makes and commentary surrounding him has been certainly untowards, and that's where we've seen the dollar index take a little bit of a hammering in recent times.
Well, Ben, you just got to keep checking your Twitter feed and then keep us posted, all right? Thank you so much for joining us today. That was Ben LeBrun, market analyst with Options Express in Sydney.
Interesting expression, that crazy range of ideas. But, you know, maybe to be fair to Donald Trump, that's not his biggest problem. His biggest problem is execution. And, you know, we already see a lot of people waiting. I mean, you talk about the Fed interest rates and when's going to happen and when it's going to, you know, how many you're asking for speculation. But when is the financial reform going to happen? Mm. When is that big infrastructure spend going to happen? You know, and all those things that were part of his legislative agenda that haven't unfolded. And there's quite a bit of talk around the problem of execution of ideas, whether crazy or not, from Donald Trump.
Right, and reading the commentary from his supporters, you know, essentially they are saying that this Trump agenda has been distracted by all this noise. Recently, you've got those testimonies by Comey, who's the former FBI director. You've got Sessions also testifying before the Senate. And also you've got news of the U.S. Democrats who are apparently trying to sue Donald Trump due to his links to global businesses that could undermine basically his authority as POTUS, right? President of the United States.
But, you know, so much of the damage done to Donald Trump has been self-inflicted, some might argue. Mm. Others, and I was listening to an interview with Tom Barrack, who is an American private equity real estate investor and founder and chairman of and CEO of something called Colony Capital. And his defense, he's like an advisor to Donald Trump, and obviously well-known, well-regarded, because he's there everywhere with his deep tan and his bald head, very much like myself, really. You know, they're talking about how important Donald Trump's agenda is, because in some ways he is kind of a disruptor and chief, and that what he's doing is really good for America. Ultimately, this is going to, give dividends.
What was the saying? Drain the swamp.
You recall? Well, you know, but then he just had his own swamp animals, didn't he? Ultimately,
yeah. You know, having all these Wall Street bankers basically filling up the seats in his economic advisory council and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, when we look back at home and we look at our leadership, whether there's been a real sea change in the style of leadership, you know, whether it's in Malaysia, Singapore, any ASEAN country, we ask ourselves, you know, what are we looking at? It's so easy to criticize the U.S., but the U.S. is also has huge resources. You know, the balance between executive and legislature and a strong judiciary, and you know, maybe even some strong policy making and a vibrant media. What do we have when we look at governance in this country?
Well, I think going back to what Ben LeBrun mentioned earlier in our chat was that, you know, now that the U.S. dollar, I mean, while the U.S. dollar has pretty much disappointed, you know, for much of this year, despite the two rate hikes that we've already seen from the Federal Reserve, right? So what's it going to take next? He says, look at the political world, look at the White House, look at Donald Trump. You know, so very much the currency being a barometer of, you know, confidence in the U.S. Economy, right? So perhaps that is also applicable to the Malaysian story, right? Whereby, say, confidence in the political ecosystem here in Malaysia could reflect in the where the ringgit is at. Although, to be fair, the ringgit has strengthened by over 5% against the U.S. dollar so far this year.
Yeah, but that's a greenback. greenback weakening.
Well, perhaps. And so for more on how this will affect the ringgit, in just a bit, we'll be speaking to Dr. Suresh Ramanathan. He is an independent forex strategist, and that's coming up in just a bit.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!